welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Hallelujah. Let's just turn to Zechariah chapter 10. I don't know about you, but I'm so encouraged. I'm so happy. I'm so encouraged and happy because of what the Lord is doing. And God reminded me this morning while I was praying, he said, just keep going. Because all that you have sown, not just personally, but all that you have sown will come to pass. So, you know, sometimes the going gets tough, but when the going gets tough, the... Thank you. Hezekiah chapter 3, verse 2, that was. And God is just saying that there's going to be an incredible release of his exploits through us. There's going to be an incredible release of exploits through us. God's exploits through you. God's exploits through us as a church, as a people. Because he's heard our prayers. We're coming into a fresh and a new season. And in this season of rain, everything becomes easy, or easier. Okay? We have down the bottom of our garden, we have some plants that we're growing. This has got nothing to do with Zechariah. Well, actually, it has a lot to do with Zechariah. And we decided that we'd plant a few things just down the bottom. And that was actually Claire's ploy to get rid of a great big pile of wood. I'm a collector of wood because I believe in keeping wood so you can one day burn it. And we've ended up with this massive great big pile of, you know, because I believe in conservation, conserving our wood. So there's a huge great pile of wood and probably, who knows who lives in this wood pile. So Claire said, I want you to move the wood pile. I've had enough of it. So, okay. So we moved it across. And the reason for it was to make a little garden there. But I've noticed that these little plants, they need watering. They need a lot of water. And well, there's a few pots down there. That we've stuck some spuds in there, in these buckets. And the other day I looked at them, they were going like this, hanging there. And so they needed some water. Now listen, God wants to send the rain because the ground is dry. And when the ground is dry, the first thing is, when the water comes, what does it do when it hits the ground? Dry ground. First of all, there's a soaking up. What else happens? Something grows. If it's good soil, something is bound to grow, isn't it? This isn't hard, is it? So when we're asking the Lord for rain, the reason he's saying the rain isn't just so we go, oh, that was wonderful. I got this amazing shiver went down my back. Or you start shaking. You may do that. God can do anything he likes. But what matters is what is the reason he sent the rain wasn't just so that you felt something or had an experience. That's a bonus. But what the rain is sent for is so that something will happen through your life which will produce a harvest. Is this making sense? So the reason you water your pots and your plants and your garden is so obviously so things will grow. And the reason we ask the Lord for rain, for the rain of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Lord to come down upon us, is so that something will change in our hearts, that's in you, inside of you. Something will change in the way that you think and believe. And as you read God's word, something will change you as a person. And as the Spirit of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit saturates you and you start obeying what he says, because it's not just about having great experiences. It's actually putting those experiences into action that will change people's lives. And when that starts to happen, like the rain that hits the mud or hits the, you know, comes into the pot where something's growing, it produces a softening of the soil and something happens with the seeds that are in the ground. They begin to grow. I mean, I'm almost embarrassed to look over our neighbour's garden. I mean, he's Mr. Greenfingers. He's Mr. Greenfingers universe. I mean, everything he touches, it goes boosh like that. It just grows. And look at our little weedy little runner beans. It's quietly trying to climb up the pole. And I'll tell you a funny story, right? I said to him, Barry, he said, what do you do with salad leaves? He said, you should have cut them by now. What do you do? Get a pair of scissors and just go like that through the leaves and the stalks and that and cut them off. But you need to do it nice and early so they're nice and tender. Wash them and then you've got a lovely salad. You've got rocket and all the other different types of salads. Interesting, Sam. And encourage you in your garden. Perhaps you'd like to grow some rockets and things. Anyway, so I cut some salad leaves. Great, lovely, wonderful. And then the other day, I thought I'll cut some of the other, what I thought were salad leaves, the other side of the runner bean. So got my scissors, went ch-ch-ch-ch, these lovely leaves, lovely juicy leaves. Got them indoors, and Claire said to me, she said, where did you get those leaves from? I said, well, they're the salad leaves, aren't they? They're the salad leaves the other side of the beans. She said, no, those are radishes. Oh, right, okay. You've just killed all our radishes. You've just murdered our radishes. So if you want to know how to garden, don't come to me, all right? But the point of what I'm saying is that we need to actually start watering our garden. And it says, look at Zechariah chapter 10. We're just going to just spend a couple of minutes in this because it's actually very important. Because what I shared at Rofi the other day, God just put something together there between two or three of us that we all had a word that fitted together. And when you put it together, wow, it's amazing. God's just come up with a real strong prophetic word for us that's for right now. And the word was this. It was that God said to me, starting from July the 1st, there's going to be 28 days of rain, of specific rain, presence of God coming down, that's going to impact us as a church. And this rain isn't just for us. That would be silly for us to even assume that. It's for anyone. But it is a rain for us in this church and within Kingdom of Faith for sure. And it says, ask the Lord for rain in the season of rain. And I was meditating about this, thinking about this the other week. I was thinking, but if it's a season of rain, it's going to rain anyway, isn't it? We're going to have rain anyway. But the Lord says, no, you've got to ask me for rain, because like any rain clouds can go over and miss you. He's trying to get at something here. So he's saying, what you do is you ask specifically that God will pour out his Holy Spirit in my life and change me. I ask the Holy Spirit to come and pour out his Spirit in my family and change us. I ask the Holy Spirit will pour out his Spirit in this church and change us as a people. And each area and department of this church, that we ask that the Holy Spirit, the rain will come down. The Holy Spirit will come down, that we'll have a real meeting and encounter with God. Now that starts, actually not with us all together, it starts with me on my Jack Jones. Right? It starts with you on your own, meeting with God and actually coming into his presence. And then, and over these next 28 days, he says there's going to be a soaking. There's a soaking. The first drops have been here for quite a while. But he said this is a 28 day of God's love and God's power being poured out, so that you actually have something within you that softened up your hearts in such a way that as a church you're going to start carrying stuff and things are going to begin to grow in a new way, in a new order. Does that make sense? Amen. So what are we going to do?
Ask for it.
I would say so. I think that would be a good idea, that we start asking the Lord, not begging God for the rain, because he's always said he's going to give it, but simply ask him for the rain. And when you ask for something, and you know that God says, whatever you ask, I will give to you, what do you do immediately after you've started to ask? Praise him and thank him. And you start doing that in your own time with God, however you do it with the Lord, whether it's with a guitar or comb and paper or hands clapping or however you like to worship God, but meet with God and just start thanking him for the rain of his Spirit, and I guarantee you are going to be changed. You will meet with the Lord in a new way, because it's the season of rain. And in this season of rain, the rain of the Spirit is coming to change us, to liberate us, set us free from things that perhaps have been hindering us, and will enable us then to move forward. And what will happen is there'll be tremendous growth will take place in your own personal life, but also in the church. Sounds pretty good to me. I said, Lord, I like this. And he said, for these 28 days, when the 28 days are over, it's the first drencher. It's the first drencher, but he said, and then there'll be a gap so that some things can start growing, things start developing. But then this is the start of a number of rains that are coming. Weigh up and see what God says to you. If you think I'm wrong, tell me. But weigh up this word, because God is pouring out his Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to do a tremendous work in God's people, in his church. So that his kingdom can be advanced, so that lives can be changed. I just keep meeting one person and another. I was on the phone to someone yesterday, someone I've never met, and this guy says, I just want to know more about Jesus. I'm getting so busy I can't quite keep up with all the people that are actually wanting to know more about Jesus. So we're obviously sharing the load out, getting other people to meet people and share the love of Jesus with them. So the Holy Spirit is being poured out to enable people to be saved. It's for us to be different as well, but for people to be saved and discipled and come into God's kingdom. It's great, isn't it? He's releasing his power to heal the sick. And those tremendous miracles that Donna's talking about, they're the same miracles that happen on the streets of Crawley, East Grinstead, Horsham, all over this nation. God has assigned exploits, miracles to happen. He just needs a people who've learned how to receive the reign and start moving in that reign of God. Is this making sense? So don't wait for a feeling. Start receiving right now. If you continue in this way, and you come to God with that kind of faith, I'm not going to go empty-handed. I'm not going to go empty-hearted. Every time I start my day, I'm going to start by filling up with God. And other times during the day, Lord, I'm just going to take hold of you. You know, the other day I came home, I was really, really tired. And I sat down, and all I can say to you is that I've been doing God's work. And I sat down, and I actually sort of nodded off for a few minutes. And I was just conscious of someone standing behind me. And it wasn't Claire. It wasn't anyone, but it was Jesus. I was just conscious that the presence of Jesus was all around me. Now, that's what the rain does. The presence of the Lord is in us, but he also comes around us. Jesus comes around us. I don't know if you were here that time when we had this Muslim guy come to the church, Muhammad. He sat at the back there, and he went very pale halfway through the meeting. I thought, I wonder why that is. And anyway, he told me afterwards, it wasn't what I thought it was, because he said to me afterwards, he said, who was that standing up? There was someone, something happened when you asked the Holy Spirit to come. Something came through the ceiling of the building. And then he said, who was that standing next to you when you were speaking? Who was that? I couldn't work out his face. I could see up to about his waist. Who was that? It's the presence of the Lord. And the presence of Jesus here, and if we revere, that means honor, respect, yeah. Respect the presence of the Lord, that he's in us. So we need to honor his spirit in us. Don't have bad feelings about yourself. You are precious in God's sight. You belong to God. You need to honor the fact that you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus and that you belong to God. So never think, I'm a failure, I'm rubbish, I'm no good. No, you're a child of God. God never, ever has those thoughts about you, ever. Even when you get it all wrong, he never has those thoughts about you. He says, you're my daughter, you're my son, you're mine. And I rejoice over you. My banner over you is love. Okay, so we need to start thinking about who we really are in Christ Jesus and live that way. We need to have a different way of thinking. And the presence of the Lord is not just in us, but he's around us as well. And we need to honor the presence of the Lord in one another. The Lord is in Jim. The Lord is in Marcia. The Spirit of the Lord is in Sandra. The Spirit of the Lord is in Kirsty. I could go around every single one of you. The Spirit of the Lord is in each one of you this morning. And he's also come to be around us as a people. And when he comes upon us as a people, that's when we really begin to live as the body of Christ. There's an anointing that God wants to pour out on this church. And we're not moving it in the way that we should. But God's going to teach us how to do that. But it starts in that place where we seek him and we let him just receive. You haven't got to do anything, actually, other than put your faith into gear and start receiving what God wants to give to you. That's the start point every time. You can't give out of what you don't have. But if you start receiving out of what the Spirit of God gives to you, you've got something to give. That's why, you know, if the prayer goes down, then what you give goes down as well. We need to spend time receiving out of the Holy Spirit's presence and out of reading the Bible, because I do both of those things. I read lots of the Word and let the Holy Spirit come. And then you fill your tank up and you've got something you can give out to other people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. That's great. Thank you. So ask the Lord for rain and just receive this wonderful latter rain that God has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to read something to you this morning. Someone gave this to me in the week. I thought, well, it's quite apt for us as a church. It says, people come to church looking for light. Well, we've got plenty of that this morning. And warmth. Hopefully that's here as well. They want to know we care. Good preaching and music may bring them in, but relationships that nurture will keep them coming back. You can feel lonely in a crowd, even one that preaches love and has a greet your neighbour moment in every service, you know, when we greet people. If we kept 10% of those who came through our doors, we'd be in constant growth mode. You say, well, the Bible teaches that if a man would have friends, he must show himself to be friendly. True, but people bring with them the wounds of their past, the struggles of their present, and the unspoken anxieties of their future. What they want to know is, will you love me as I am? I hope that's true in this church. I hope that people actually not just feel, but they do feel it, but I hope they know that we love people as they are. We may not like everything they do, and there may be good reason for that, but we love people as they are, just like Jesus did. And then he began to change them. Will you love me as I am, even if I don't fit your mould and change as quickly as you'd like me to? Often our rigid structure keeps that from happening. If the pastor's greatest concern on Monday is how many people did we have in church yesterday, we need to check our hearts. It isn't, actually. That isn't my greatest concern at all. You may be more concerned with your own image than meeting people's needs. Jesus told his disciples, I've called you friends. Just imagine this morning, just turn to someone and say, you are a friend of Jesus. Just turn to someone and say that to them. Say that to someone, you are a friend of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Jesus actually calls us his friends. We're not just playing around with words this morning, nice words. Jesus actually says to you, you're my friend, Lee. You're my friend, Scotty. You're my friend, Glenn. You're my friend, Matt. You're my friend. He has befriended us. He's our Saviour, our Lord, and our friend. He's not our mate, right? Jesus isn't our mate, but he is our friend. He is holy. He is awesome. So we can never call him our mate, my mate Jesus. No. He is holy, he is God and man. He is the glorified man in heaven, but he is our friend. And he says, I've called you friends. Many people are shy, distrusting, and relationally impaired. Our mandate is to make friends out of them and not just seat warmers or they contribute something in the offering in the church. The scripture says, bear one another's burdens. That's what we've been trying to do through helping some people get to faith camp, bearing one another's burdens. Because a burden shared is a burden lightened. Many of those who come to church aren't looking for profound answers. They just want to feel cared for, loved. And when that happens, they open up to God's love and miracles take place. It's good, isn't it? Very, very good. And God wants us to be such a church. He wants us to be like that in this place too. Shall we try this music now? Let's go to Matthew's Gospel and let's go to Matthew chapter 26. And in our Matthew study, which we're coming towards the close now in our various groups, the Matthew study has actually done quite a profound work in a lot of people's lives. And I trust that even if you haven't been able to get to a group, you are reading it and getting something out of it. But in Matthew 26, I'm just going to read one particular part of this and focus on this, because this is what I felt God say to us for us this morning. I've entitled this morning's message. What have I entitled this morning's message? Kingdom. That's the word. Extravagance. I couldn't think what the word was. Extravagance. Kingdom extravagance. There you go. The pastor's even forgot what the message is. Kingdom extravagance. And if you read, let's start reading at verse 6. You know, it's what those horrible moments when you go up to someone, you know what their name is, and you forget what their name is. It's so embarrassing. I don't know. I have a habit of doing that. Anyway, is it old age? No. Let's read it, verse 6. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly, fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head, Jesus' head, as he sat at the table. So I want you just to picture this. This woman, who we actually know that this woman was Mary. Remember Martha and Mary? And it says that at the house of Simon the leper, she came with an alabaster flask of very costly, fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head. Not because he said, "Here, pour some oil on my head." She actually got up. She was obviously part of the hosting team, probably, I would imagine. They were there because they were around Jesus. They spent a lot of time with Jesus. They were part of his disciples. They served him and loved him. Martha was the one that was always doing the, "I've got to do something, I've got to do something, I've got to do something." You know, she was always busy, busy, busy. Whereas Mary was more controlled and sort of, she was the worshipping one, actually. She was the one that listened to every word that he said. She was there to serve, but it was a completely different way of doing it. And she had such a heart for Jesus and such a love for him. And it says here that she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. And when his disciples saw it, they were indignant. What does indignant mean? Pardon? They were upset. Any other words?
Offended.
Oh, yeah. Cross.
Grumpy.
Disgusted. Grumpy.
Jealous.
Okay, so we got the picture. And this is how the disciple is saying, "Why this waste?" So they misinterpreted what Mary had just done. She has just got hold of this alabaster pot, which was a very, very, and it was filled with this very, very costly, I think it was nard, pure nard. Now, I don't know anything about nard. I'm sorry, I didn't do my homework on that one. But this is very, very costly perfume. You imagine, fellas, you buy your wife, and it's cost you a year's salary. You go out and buy your wife, or if you're not, you haven't got a wife, your girlfriend or the person you're engaged, you buy them this perfume that's worth a year's salary of your wages. You've saved up over probably about 10 years to get this, and it's worth a year's salary. You go down to Boots, and you say, "I'll have that one up there. I know it's a very costly one. The one that's, you know, locked up, I'll have it, please." And you put your money down, you buy it, and you take it down, give it to your wife, and she then takes it, and she goes and pours it over someone's head. What would you do? Because that's exactly what Mary did. Except she poured it over the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords' head. She poured it over Jesus' head. And she was anointing him. And they said, they were all thinking it. They were thinking, "What a waste. We could have gone on holiday for that. We could have all gone on holiday for that one. What a waste." And it says Jesus was aware, as he always was, of what they were thinking. And he said to them, they said, "For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." That was quite a good spiritual answer, wasn't it? It could have been given to the poor, Jesus. "When Jesus was aware of it, he said to him, 'Why do you trouble the woman? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always.'" You're always going to have people who are poor. Poverty will never get rid of poverty, because there will always be poor people that will need needs met. "But me you do not have with you always here on this earth. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial." It was a preparation before Jesus went to the cross. Remember, this was round about the Passover time, the Passover meal, just before Jesus went then to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. So this is right before the cross. She's pouring out the oil, anointing him, preparing him for what he's about to go through, anointing his body for death, actually, and for life, for resurrection. "She did it for my burial. Verse 13, assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Wow. I wonder what kind of extravagant love you have for Jesus. Wonder what sort of extravagant love you have for Jesus. Don't worry, God has asked me the same question. What kind of extravagant love have you got for him? I can think of some extravagant things I've done for God and the tremendous blessings that have come down as a result of doing those things. But what about, how's our extravagant love for him today? Now, I'm not suggesting that we spend a year's wages and go and get some perfume, pour it on someone's, that's not what we're talking about. But we're the principle of what Mary did is talking about something that she actually poured out of her heart for Jesus Christ the Lord. And he's saying today, listen, I want you to understand more of what I've done for you, because it's only by seeing more of what his extravagant love has done for us that we can possibly give out this kind of extravagant love. We can't lay down our lives for other people if we don't understand that he laid down his life for me. But the more we understand what he went through on the cross, how he literally overcame sin for us in his body on the cross, how his blood was poured out to pay the price so that we could be forgiven, and actually so that he could release his victory into our lives so we could live a new life and live victorious lives, that's the extravagant love of God, isn't it? That's the extravagant love. That's what the love of God did for us. And the more that we come to terms, and that's why it's particularly, you know, read over a number of times. Just because it's not Easter doesn't mean that we shouldn't be reading these scriptures. We need to read them regularly about what Jesus went through on the cross and through his death and his resurrection, because we'll understand better then what his love is really all about. And the more we understand what his love is really all about, we'll see that all my pain, all my struggles, all the wounds and the rejection of the past, all the things that I sometimes still remember and sometimes can even go through, Jesus took them for me in his body on the cross. Whether I believe it or not is another issue, but that's what he's done for me, and he took it away, and he buried it. 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 He buried it for you. He buried it for you. He took it all away. He's buried it for you. He's dealt with it for you. Whether you believe it is another issue. You need to believe that what Jesus has done on that cross, he broke the power of sin. He broke rejection in his body on the cross, because he was more rejected than anyone. He took our rejection there. He took all our past sins there. He took it so that we, if we choose to, if we believe in him, we can be forgiven for our own personal sins and failures right up to today. And if you haven't ever made Jesus or let Jesus into your life, then this is the start point. You have to repent from your sins. You have to turn to him and say, Jesus, I need you. And see that you've got to give your life to him fully before he can come into your life. You've got to give your life to him before he can come into your life. This is the gospel. And Jesus is saying this morning, what's your extravagant love like for me? And if you feel a little bit like I do, kind of a gulp, because nothing can match really his extravagant love. But I tell you, the more that we see what his extravagant love has done for us, it will change that we are in our relationship with him. It will change how we are in our relationship with one another. And it will change how we are in our relationship with people who don't yet know Jesus, but God wants them to. God wants us to be like Mary, who from her heart decided that actually, if we're going to follow Jesus, it's going to cost us something. Now, we're not talking about money necessarily here. It will cost us something. Jesus never said it'd be easy to follow him. This is because it cost him everything. So any cost to us is a minimal cost. It's a very small thing to give our lives to him. The bonuses and the benefits of knowing him, as many of you here will know, are incredible. But there is a cost of following Jesus and making him Lord of your life. There is a cost. There's a cost to your self-life, absolutely. But Jesus wants us to have this extravagant love. And I know there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. You know, I don't know, but I like shortcuts. I love shortcuts. If I can get somewhere quicker, I'll find it. I'll go with a shortcut, wouldn't you? I mean, sometimes, you know, when you go into Broadfield or Bewbush, you need shortcuts. If you take your time to go all around all the roads, all the roundabouts to get to... But if you know some shortcuts, you can do it in half the time. It's like getting here on a Sunday. If you're on a bike, you can get some very really good shortcuts here to get to... Anyway, that's another story. But there is no shortcuts in God's kingdom. We have to go the right way, and it will cost us something. And that's to do with extravagant love. And I just hear the Spirit of God saying this morning, how much do you extravagantly love me? Is your love extravagant towards the Lord? And if it's not, go back to what you know about his love for you. Go back there. Go back to how his love is for you this morning. And re-look at that love that he's... Because you probably don't understand how much he really loves you. You probably don't really know how much he's forgiven you. Go back to the cross. Don't go back to your past. Don't start digging up all the stuff that you knew happened, go back further than your past. Go back to the cross where he died for you on that cross before your past and took it all for you. And just see the extravagant love that Jesus Christ has for you this morning. God wants his extravagant love to be poured out in my life, in your life. And if we will devote ourselves to Jesus, if we'll devote ourselves to let the rain... See, I used to think, because I saw a lot of Christians, when you're young, you observe adults, don't you? You watch them. And I worked out that my mum and dad loved Jesus. I knew that. They really did. And they demonstrated wonderful love. But I looked at a lot of Christians, I thought, it seems awfully hard, this Christian life. It seems like hard work to me. It seems like some of it is very religious and it's hard work. And it was only when the Holy Spirit came for me that I realised, no, God didn't mean it to be hard work. He wants to come and put his rain into us. So it's more about receiving than it is giving. It's more about receiving him, his word, his presence first, then we can give. That's what Mary did. Mary had spent time in his presence. Mary had spent time at his feet. Mary knew what it was to worship him, which is to do with not just singing songs. Worship is to do with bowing your heart before God and loving him, pouring your heart out to him. It means bowing down yourself to him. That's what worship is. And we can do that in singing as well. But it's a lifestyle. And Mary was living it. So for her to grab hold, it doesn't say where this bottle of perfume, this flask of perfume came from. It doesn't say where it came from, but I guarantee you it cost her. She didn't pick it off the shelf. It wasn't something she inherited. I reckon she bought it herself. I reckon that she paid her life with it because she knew who Jesus was and she knew about his love already and she knew that she had to anoint him for what he was going to go through. So it's a deliberate thing that we need to think about. You know when the Holy Spirit says, he says, listen, I want you to do this. And immediately your reaction is, I don't want to do it. Well, mine is anyway sometimes. God asks you to do something and it's a little bit too much. It's a little bit too much money to give or it's a little bit too much effort required. It's a little bit too costly. But they're the things that will show up where your love for Jesus really is. Slow obedience is disobedience. Now, when your little Charlie or Harry or Josh says no or doesn't immediately do what you say, that's disobedience. And we're exactly the same. The Spirit of God often would ask us to do something and we're reluctant to do it. Why is that? Usually because there's a cost. In some measure, there's a cost. But if we're going to really love Jesus, it will cost us. But the benefits of what he will do in our lives is incomparable. We are the beneficiaries, really, of anything that costs us to serving Jesus. We are the beneficiaries of that. We receive so much more back. That's just the way the kingdom of God works. It's awesome. It's amazing. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.